Tom, good evening. If I'm not clear about something or anyone wants more information about what I'm saying, just don't throw a tomato, something like that, you know. But, okay. Bez Hashem, this evening we will discuss the mitzvah of tzitzis, which, believe it or not, if you make the cheshbon, is probably the single one mitzvah you will do the most times in your entire life. You put it on in the morning, you wear it straight through the entire day, of every single day of your life. And, except maybe the Shesh Mitzvah Tzmidis. The pasuk we say 2, 3, 4 times a day, depending on how you say Kriyashma. V'hoi lechem letzitzis, re'isem oisoi, uzchartem as kol mitzvois Hashem. When you'll make yourself tzitzis, you'll look at them, you'll see them, and you'll remind yourself of all the mitzvahs of Hashem. Gemara says that making tzitzis, seeing tzitzis will jolt your memory and will help you remember all the mitzvahs of Hashem. It's bavust, Rashi brings, it's based off of a Gemara, that tzitzis, just a nice remez, tzitzis is gematria 613, well, Tzitzis is gematria 600. Tzadi is 90, yud is 10. So tzadi and yud is 100. Another tzadi yud is another 100. It's 200. Tav is 400. There's 8 strings and 5 knots. 613. So remember all the 613 mitzvahs. But you're probably all rolling your eyes, although you probably won't. But sounds a little outlandish, right? We're looking at our tzitzis the whole day, and no one says, "Oh, I forgot to do shloch hakam." You know, you don't really look at the tzitzis and remember. So, the word tzitzis, we know, obviously the word tzitzis means fringes, right? You have fringes hanging off of your bima. Also, that's also those technically would be called tzitzis. Rashi in Parshas Shlach, the Parshas of Tzitzis, he brings two lashonos what tzitzis means. Either it means fringes, brings a pasuk in Yeshaya, Yechezkel, Veikecheni, but tzitzis Rashi means the fringes. Another lashon Rashi brings, it's Meloshon Tzotz, Meloshon Meitzitz Ben Acharakim, which means to peer. The tzitzis will not convince anybody to do anything. The tzitzis are there. If really you want to do something, you believe in Hashem, you believe in the mitzvahs, you want to do something, you know, the mashal they give is you have something you got to do, you tie a string around your finger. The string around your finger doesn't do anything except stop the blood circulation. If you know you need to do something and it slips your memory, the string around your finger will jolt your memory to reboot and put you back to where you're supposed to be. If you don't remember what you're supposed to do, you never got the instructions the first time, obviously the string around your finger isn't going to help anything. So tzitzis is the same thing. It's not in your face. It's meitzitz ben acharakim. It's you got to peer at it. You have to squint. You have to, you know, if you really know in your heart the Eibishter, the tzitzis will serve as a reminder. The Gemara has some wild stories about people in the middle of doing Averis, and then they slipped, and they looked at the tzitzis, and they reminded them, and then they did tshuva, and they stopped in the middle. It's not convincing anyone of anything. It's reminding a person if he starts to slip. There's a very scary Gemara, for no less word than that. Gemara Menachos, there was a Amora named Rav Katina. That was his name. And a malach met him. Now, obviously we're not, you know, he wasn't your standard run-of-the-mill person, right? Malachim meet him in the street and strike up a conversation. And the malach, and it was very hot outside, and he was not wearing tzitzis. So the malach tells him, Katina, Katina, play on words, his name was Katina, but Loshen Katan. So he's like, you know, machin avek with him. Ech, Katina, Katina, you little, you know, you torp, you. Says, it's going to be too cold in the winter, it's going to be too hot in the summer, you're never wearing tzitzis, what's going to be? So if Katina told him back that, as we all know, there is no mitzvah to wear tzitzis. There is no mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to keep Shabbos, a mitzvah to keep kosher, there's a mitzvah to wear tefillin. There's no mitzvah to wear tzitzis. The mitzvah is, if I have a beged that has four corners, so you have to put tzitzis on it. In the normal Western or even Eastern style of dress, no one wears a beged of their regular, you know, dress code that has dalet kanfas, maybe since, you know, maybe the good old Roman togas. But we don't, you know, it's not part of our dress code to wear such a thing. So Rav Katina told the Malach, what do you want from me? I don't wear a bag that has dal canvas, and it's too hot to put one on, so, you know, just for kicks, so, you know, I'm not chayiv. So the Malach told him, you're right, you're not, there's no mitzvah that you're being mevatel, but be'idan rischa, when Hashem is upset, he punishes people who don't wear tzitzis. Very scary. And Rav Moshe says that this is the reason why Klal Yisrael has accepted upon themselves to go out of their way to put on a beged that has four corners solely for the point of being a kind of the mitzvah, because of this Gemara. And he even goes as far as has a halach of a minig, and even if you don't do it, even though you're not mevatel mitzvah's essay, but you're mevatel minig Yisrael, he's very... takes it very seriously. But just to appreciate for one moment before we get to the actual halachas, what the what's so special about tzitzis that this is the deciding factor whether or not Hashem punishes a person when he's upset. The beautiful verse from Reb Tzadok that he says that it's funny, right? Tefillin is a chiyuv. And it doesn't say that when the Eibush is upset, he takes his avenge out on people who don't wear tefillin. On tzitzis, which I don't have to do, and in my normal dress code, I wouldn't be wearing such a thing, but that's what he takes his anger out. It's funny. But Rabbi says, no, that's exactly the point. A guy has a job, he does what he's supposed to do, and he's grimacing behind his back, and he hates his boss's guts, but listen, he gotta do what he gotta do, because, you know, he needs his paycheck, or he's gonna be fired, or who knows what, you know, or the king tells him he has to do something, he's gonna be killed, he's gonna be exiled, you gotta do, because it's what you gotta do. Something which you're not mechuyev to do, and you go out of your way to do it anyway, that shows a level of care and closeness millionfold more than when you do what you're supposed to do. You know, you have to wear tefillin, so when you wear tefillin, you're loyal. It doesn't mean you care about the Eibishter. You don't have to wear tzitzis. So when you do wear tzitzis, that shows that you care about the Eibishter, which, yes, it's less of a chiyuv, but it has this one shining point that it shines more even than tefillin. Huh? Yeah. Which is precisely why when the Eibishter's upset, he looks at the people who are, so to speak, on his side, not the people who are just listening to what he says to do. Okay, so let's do a quick one-up on the halachas of tzitzis. Okay, as we know, the tzitzis is comprised of two parts, right? You got the beged, and you have the strings. You can buy it in the store, put it together. You can buy it in the store separately. So... There's a Gemara that says Zekeli v'anveihu, and the Gemara dashes v'anveihu as a lashon that I will glorify it. That, and the Gemara gives examples of mitzvahs you're supposed to glorify Hashem with. He says you're supposed to make a nice sukkah, which is why we make sukkah decorations, a nice lulav, a nice tzitzis, and a nice talus. Four things the Gemara lists. So Rabbi Yashiv's Ma'ir, what's the difference between a talus and a tzitzis? Right? They're the same thing. So pashtus, you would say, is that tzitzis means your talus gadol, and tzitzis means your talus katan. But that's not true, because we call it a talus gadol and talus katan, so they're both called talus. So what, if what's a talus gadol, what's a talus katan, so what's tzitzis? So he says, no, talus gadol, talus katan, obviously, this is Rabbi Yashiv speaking, he says, obviously talus means the beged. You have a talus gadol and talus katan. The strings are the same strings on your talus gadol and talus katan. So Yashiv says the beged itself is a chelik of the mitzvah. So it's, if you have a nice beged, that is called being, you know, glorifying Hashem. The Medrash in Shir Hashirim says that the Eibishter prides himself in Knesset Yisrael that they're different from the Umayis in their haircut because they leave payas, and in their clothing because they have tzitzis. You know, it's not such a simple thing. Anyway, so the beged. So what should the beged be made out of? There is a Machlokes Mechaber and Ramah. So the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber, says that it has to be made, in order to be chayiv midaraisa, it has to be made out of either wool or linen. Because anytime the Torah talks about beged, it always means wool or linen. Anything that's not wool or linen, for example, katan, according to the Shulchan Aruch, according to the Mechaber, meaning how the Svaradim go, that's not chayiv midaraisa. Cotton is only chayiv midrabanan. Cotton, silk, all those other things are chayiv midrabanan. Not chayav midaraisa. The Ramah argues, and it's a machlokes Rav and Shmuel in the Gemara. And the Ramah argues, the Ramah paskins like Shmuel, and the Ramah says, no, any material is also chayiv midaraisa. So that means cotton is just as chayiv as wool. Mishnah Berurah says that a Yori Shamayim should, you know, try to be Yotze Zayin the Deiraisa instead of issues and wear wool, because according to the Mechaber, wool is Deiraisa, cotton is Drabbanon. According to the Ramah, according to the Ramah, cotton is Deiraisa. So if you wear cotton, you're Yotze the Deiraisa, according to the Ramah, but according to the Mechaber, it's only Medrabbanon. So even though we are Ashkenazim and we paskin like the Ramah over the Mechaber, Mishnah Berurah says that Yorei Shamayim should try to go above and beyond. Yorei Shamayim should try to stay out of problems, especially we know from Rav Katina that Be'idin Rischa, our lives could be on the line. Chaman Litzlan, you should try to wear wool. The Chaznish argued, and the Chaznish said, "No, we're Ashkenazim. We go with the Ramah. Cotton is no problem. Cotton is just as good as wool." And the Yorei Shamayim does not need to go out of his way. The Chazon Ish himself, as we know, wore cotton. Reb Chaim Kanievsky wears cotton. Comes along with Moshe Feinstein and Abu Yashiv, and not funny. And they're Medayik in the Ramah, come go for the Gemara. They have a Mishnah in Kalim, that all these things is only if they're natural things. They are things that come from an animal. Wool, linen comes from a plant, cotton comes from a plant. These are real things. They are processed into threads, and they are made into begotten. That's how you make a beged. You weave threads. So Rav Moshe says, anything that is laboratory made, anything that is synthetic, Rav Moshe holds is not chayiv at all. Meaning a... Polyester, right. So polyester, according to Rav Moshe, is not chayiv at all, which means you're not yoytze if you wear it, and if you make a brach on it, it's brach levatola. So much so, Rav Moshe says, that even if you take it and you turn it into threads, just like wool is, and you weave it just like wool is, you're still not yoytze, because that's not how it's made. So it's not. So according to Rav Moshe, synthetics is not chayiv at all. He says this numerous times throughout Igus Moshe. Rabbi Yashiv comes with a cute chap. Rabbi Yashiv says that really it would be ro'ui for us to. He says it's not matame. Rabbi Yashiv says that synthetic is not matame. It can't become tame. And memela, a beged has to be able to become tame. So if it can't be metabol tuma, so it's not a beged. Rabbi Yashiv holds also polyester is not chayiv. Rabbi Yashiv says really it would be ro'ui that it should be chayiv and drabonon, polyester. So he says, but make a simple cheshbon. According to the Ramah, according to the Shulchan Aruch, there are begotten that are chayiv midaraisa, there are begotten that are chayiv midrabanan. So maybe you could lump this on the list. But according to the Ramah, Zakti Bo Yashiv, there's no such a thing as begotten that are chayiv midrabanan. According to the Ramah, everything is chayiv midaraisa. So we can't be mechadish a thing nowadays that they made polyester. We can't now in 2014 or 1915, whenever they made this, wake up and say, oh, now we're going to make a tzitzis midrabanan. So we have to say, you're stuck. Maybe if it would have existed in the times of the Mishnayos, they would have, but... So we actually also agrees with Rav Moshe, not Chayiv. Comes along with Shlomo Zalman. Shlomo Zalman makes a split. If it is... right, this tablecloth is made out of the same thing you make polyester out of, right? Polyester is made out of plastic. Says, if you make it plastic like this tablecloth, so then you're not Chayiv. I agree with Rav Moshe. But Zaktim Shlomo Zalman, if you turn it into threads and you weave it like wool or linen, so then it's the same thing as wool and linen. The whole issue is, Zaktim Shlomo Zalman, it has to be woven, because that's how you make a beged. So if you wear yourself a plastic bag, you're not chayiv. If you turn it into threads and you weave it, then Shlomo Zalman holds your chayiv. But if you wear yourself a tablecloth, then you're not chayiv at all. There is one Achron, Rabbi Yomin Zilber, who goes out on a limb. He says Lahedji is trying to be matzik to Rabbim that doesn't do this. And he bends himself over backwards and he's matzik that even if you wear a tablecloth, anything, nowadays, if that's how you deal with it, that's chayiv. Okay, in other words, to sum up, According to the Shulchan Aruch, only woolen linen is daraisa, cotton is not. According to the Ramah, even cotton is just as good as woolen linen, and you could wear cotton. Not polyester. You'd be surprised. You go to the store, you ask for a pair of cotton tzitzis, you gotta check the label. I have tzitzis I brought home. I bought my kids tzitzis. I look at it. It's 100% polyester. So, according to Reb Shlomo Zalman, it's good. According to Reb Moshe, it's mamash brach levatol. So, some of them are 60-40s, right? So, the 60-40, so it depends which one, if the roiv is the cotton or the roiv is the polyester, which obviously, whichever is the majority is gonna, you know, it's gonna, you know, take, you know, steal the cake. But you gotta read the labels. I hope not stepping on anyone's toes over here. The issue is mesh tzitzis. So mesh tzitzis is made out of polyester. Encourage stepping on toes. Mesh tzitzis is made out of A, it's made out of polyester. Rayon, nylon, whatever they do. It's one of those the old first cousins. And even though it looks like it's turned into threads and woven, that they want it to look like a basketball hoop, which is made of strings that are tied together. But if you look at it carefully, it's not. It's like a plastic tablecloth. They just make it with holes in it, so that's more airy. So, to sum up, according to the Shulchan Aruch, you can't be yaitzeh with mesh. Ramah, you can't be yaitzeh with mesh. With Moshe holds, you can't be yaitzeh with mesh. Shlomo Zalman holds, you can't be yaitzeh with mesh. Shlomo Zalman holds that polyester woven, you go to the store, you buy 100% polyester, you're good to go. But if mesh tzitzis, according to Shlomo Zalman, is no good. Reb Yamin Zilber is matzdikit. Reb Yamin Zilber is no slouch. But, you know, they have all these other people against him. So, listen, you can speak to your LOR, but it's definitely strongly encouraged not to wear mesh. If someone does wear mesh, listen, Reb Yamin Zilber is Reb Yamin Zilber, but certainly you should not make a bracha on it when he puts it on. But someone's going jogging, and it's mesh or nothing, so fine, you want to wear your mesh, so fine. But certainly one should not make a bracha on it. Okay, now we're not stepping on anyone's toes anymore. We may again in a minute. Okay, so here, a bag of tzitzis.
If you only make a bracha on your towel's gadol.
Oh, right. So if you only make a bracha on your towel's gadol, right. But you only make a bracha on your towel's gadol. Ramesha says this actually in regards to people that wear a baged that's too small, which we'll address in a moment, the size of a baged. But Ramesha says that really, he says, I don't understand, how could someone not wear a baged that's the right size, yada, 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 and he goes on. But Ramesha says, the bottom line is, Lamaisa, if they're married and they're making a bracha on the talis gadol, they're not making a bracha on the talis katan anyway, so, you know, at least they're wearing something. But he says definitely one would know it's best to wear something that's the right size and the right material. Mm-hmm. But again, if it's that or nothing, just don't make a bracha on it. Okay, so we have here a beged.
Is wearing the beged on your skin an issue?
Oh, so I think we should get to that right now. Okay, so that's also another touchy topic. So everyone knows, they're taught this in kindergarten, that your tzitzis can't touch your skin. Alright? I was taught that, you know. I think it's made up. I honestly don't think it exists. I can tell you where it probably comes from, but the Beis Yosef says as follows. Beis Yosef says that a beged that is made primarily to absorb sweat, or in English an undershirt, any self-respecting human being wears an undershirt so that their schwitz doesn't come through to their shirt. So the Shkatz Mechayas Roy is walking down the thing. They think it's manly if their sweat is pouring through the t-shirt. Everyone wears an undershirt just so that the sweat doesn't come through. So the purpose of an undershirt is a beged that is meant primarily to absorb your sweat. So the Beis Yosef says that a beged that's made primarily to absorb your sweat, even if it has dalat kamfas, you're not chayav in tzitzis. So now we will divide this question in half. On the shirt tzitzis and wearing tzitzis straight on your body. if you have a pair of tzitzis that under normal circumstances, 12 months a year, 10 months a year, you wear it, you're an undershirt, tzitzis, not on, undershirt, comma, tzitzis, comma, shirt. So your shirt, your tzitzis is not a beged that is primarily made to wear sweat, to absorb sweat. If you're running or playing basketball, probably the reason why you are wearing your tzitzis is not to absorb sweat. Probably the reason is because you're from a yid and you want to wear your tzitzis. And if you, let's say it would be at night or whatever, and you're not wearing tzitzis, or there would be no tzitzis, at that point of life, you don't care if your sweat comes in because you're busy playing ball. So then already, then you're wearing your four-cornered tzitzis on your skin, so presumably that would be okay. If it's a situation that you're not playing basketball and you're going to your Manhattan office to work and you would be wearing an undershirt and you're not wearing an undershirt because you're wearing tzitzis, so then we revert to the above. But I'm assuming by most people that's not the case. Usually in civilized situations wearing an undershirt, the time that they wear their tzitzis on their straight on the skin is when they're working out, playing ball and stuff like that, that really they would not wear an undershirt at all. They're only wearing tzitzis because we're from a yid. So then there's no problem. The reason where it comes from not to wear that thing, the only slight mucker that you see the Hayat Gachar and they bend themselves over, this is like an agenda. Masha Oimrim Ha'ayla, not to wear it on your skin, where does it come from? They're busy going, you should see what they dream up of. The Magen Avraham brings from that result that the Ari wore sits under his shirt, under his clothes, that's the lashon, the tachas habegadim, but he was makbid that there should be something above his skin. He wore it on top of his undershirt, basically. So the Magen Avraham doesn't say those words that you can't keep it on your skin, but presumably this is where it comes from. Undershirt tzitzis, however, is, you gotta corner yourself in a corner and make an honest assessment. If undershirt tzitzis, the very words make it sound like you're wearing it as an undershirt to be an undershirt. So then the Beis Yosef says anything that's primarily made to absorb sweat, the fact that you decide to put corners on it and tzitzis doesn't help anything. But if there's another reason that that's not why you're doing it, then between you and the Eibishter, so that's that. But okay, as we carry on. Okay, so this is our beged tzitzis. As we can see, has two directions. This way and this way. The shear of a tzitzis should be, Mr. Bruce says, an amma by an amma, meaning an amma this way and an amma that way, both in front and in back. Some place can say that it has to be an amma total. So it's a half amma in front and a half amma in back. Mr. Bruce argues with them. Mr. Bruce says it's got to be full amma this way and this way, and the same square in the back. B'di'eved, 3/4 of an amma. Now this is a sticky point because the Chazon Ish points out on the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says b'di'eved, 3/4 of an amma. He means this way. Mishnah Berurah does not speak about this way. So the Chazon Ish says Mishnah Berurah holds even b'di'eved, it has to be an amma this way. But even b'di'eved, it has to be an amma this way. B'di'eved, it can be 3/4 of an amma that way. Okay. Now we live in America, so what in the world is an amma? But as we know, there's a whole bunch of shittas, but the two main ones, because they're the two ends of the spectrum, is Reb Chaim Noy holds an amma is 18 inches, and the Chazon Ish holds an amma is 24 inches. Really, it's a drop more than 18, and the Chazon Ish is really a little bit less than 24, it's more like 23. But they, basically in a nutshell, so according to Reb Chaim Noy, which is where the size 18 beged comes from, is 18 this way, and hopefully 18 this way, 3/4 of an amma this way, 3/4 of 18 would be 13.5. So if you get a size 18 in the store, you got 18 when you, whatever number they say in the store means width, right? So when you say size 18, it means this way is going to be 18, this way is hopefully going to be 18, it probably won't be 18 unless you measure it, but it will certainly be more than 13.5. So if you have a, get it to yourself an 18, your yoytze according to Chaim Noy
lechatchila. Doesn't have to do with the size of the person?
Oh, so not really. But I asked Rev Yisrael Belsky, what size tzitzis he wears? So he tells me, during the week or on Shabbos? So you tell me. He tells me, during the week he wears a 28, and on Shabbos he wears a 32. So, if any of you have seen Michel Belsky, you know he has to buy things in the big and tall store. So he told me, so I said, why? I asked, so the yeshiva wears a larger size on Shabbos because he's concerned about how it's so, if it's not a bag. But no. When I needed a new pair of weekdays, I went into the store. The largest size they had was 28, so that's what I bought. If they had bigger, I would have bought that too. So, anyway, yeah. But, so there is a thing that the tzitzit should fit you and should be like a beged on you. But once you break these rules, once you're past these size, you're good to go. The Gemara does say that it has to be the shear that covers Rosh Hashanah of a 9-year-old, Rosh Hashanah of a katan, and a gadol is not embarrassed to wear it. So it's a machlokes if that's one shear or two shear. Mr. Brewer says it means a katan that's 9 years old, and a gadol means he's 13 years old, standing in his living room where they could see him from a shul. No one would walk out down the street wearing this, right? We just wouldn't do it. So Reb Chaim Volozhin would not wear a pair of tzitzis unless it went down to his knees, which is, you ever saw Reb Chaim Kanevsky? Reb Chaim has this huge pair of tzitzis. But that's out this from Reb Chaim Volozhin because he wants it to be a beggar that fits him, that would cover him. But again, these are all chumras. Me'ikrat, then you do not need to do that. Once you have an amma, that's the shear that the Gemara was kaveya, and you're good to go. And, okay, so that's if you buy an 18. If you buy a 24, so it means it's going to be 24 this way, and hopefully 24 that way, although unless you measure it, it probably will not be 24. But again, it's 24 this way, you get for sure, 3/4 of 24 is 18. So if you buy it 18, you're going to have 18 this way, and for sure 3/4 of 18 this way. If you buy 24, same thing. So whatever, that's Chaznish and Reb Chaim Noah, good old Machlekes, it comes up everywhere and anywhere. By Hadassim, Lulav, Hafresh Eskala, this is a running Machlekes between all of them. So, again, listen, you want to stay out of problems, you go with Chaznish, but you don't want to go with Chaznish, you know.
Once you don't hold the convention until 18, is there any reason to get a 20, a 21, a 22?
Oh, so there is a reason, because Ramosh holds an arm is 22 inches. So, 21 and a half, I think. So, again, then that's above Reb Chaim Noah. So him would be a 22, but all these things. Reb Moshe Gadol had a lot of times as the middle ground, and he just falls by the wayside because either if you're looking to be Mekel, so there's more Kuldik than Reb Moshe. If we're looking to be Machmir, so there's more Machmir than Reb Moshe. In Seis Makriyishma, right? You see on the sign, there's the Gra and the Magen Avraham. Reb Moshe, there's Reb Moshe's Makriyishma also, but it's in the middle. So the Mekilim that say, listen, no, we have the Gra to be Samachan, so, you know, they're not very measure. But in Terev Das, they have two Minyanim for Mincha Gedela. They have Mincha Gedela according to the Gra and Mincha Gedela according to Reb Moshe. So, you know, but most people don't even know Reb Moshe has a, from Erev Pesach. What's his name? Rabbi Blumenkranz, thank you. Rabbi Blumenkranz is the Talmud of Reb Moshe. So he, in his thing, he has Magen Avraham, Reb Moshe, and Gra. Okay, fine. So now, getting on to the strings. So the strings of tzitzis need to be made lishma. That means you can't go into the store, you can't go into the 99-cent store and buy a roll of twine. You got to go buy tzitzis. Have to be made lishma. Tzitzis are usually wool, meaning, right? We've seen a sheep. No, the Gemara Dashes from a pasuk from Lochem. The same Lochem by Sukh, by Lulav.
Putting it on the beggar, that's the actual
name. Oh, all right, we'll get there in a second. Right. Yeah. So the tzitzis have to be made lishma. That means even the strings, thank you for clarifying, even the strings, we're even before putting it on the beggar. We're talking, I go over to her and I shear my sheep, right? So the wool off a sheep looks like a cotton wool. So what you do is you comb through the fibers to make them straight, and then I put in a spindle and I turn it into string. Those are two steps. Combing and spinning. In Hebrew, that's called niput and tviya. The Shulchan Aruch paskins, it must be done lishma. Even the spinning has to be done lishma, meaning not only putting it on your baguette, but even turning it into strings has to be done lishma, meaning the spinning. The Ramah comes, and the Ramah is Moisif, that it's best to be makbid, even that the niputz, the combing, should be done lishma, which is how we know niputz lishma. The Ramah already says that the minig is not like that. Mr. Brewer brings from a Bach that it's a good thing to do. You go in the store, a good pair of tzitzit is going to cost you $8-$10. Nipatul Shema is going to cost you $30-$35. More than three times the price. I have no idea why it's so expensive. Just to say, L'shem Mitzvah tzitzit is when you're combing it, but I don't make up the market. What? Yeah. Huh?
Marketable.
Supply and demand, right. The Machmirim are going to pay $35 for it. So, but... Okay, anyway, so now, as far as making the tzitzis. So, the tzitzis have to be made, thank you for pointing out. Now, not only does the making of the strings have to be made lishma, even putting them in the beged has to be made lishma, or that's not, shouldn't be an even, but certainly putting it in the tzitzis, which means, I remember, it was a very uncomfortable situation. I was eating by a fellow, 50 years my senior, and he was telling me the whole thing. He wasn't sure, should I say l'shem mitzvah tzitzis when I make the knot? Before I make the knot, you put it through a hole, and then you make a knot, right? I actually have a string over here, but you have over here your knot. Peekaboo. There's your knot. And you put the strings through, and then you make a knot. So he was telling me he's not sure, should I say l'shem mitzvah tzitzis when I'm making the knot, when I'm starting to make the knot, when I'm tightening the knot? I told him, you gotta say L'shem Mitzvah Tzitzis when you're putting it through the hole. And once you say L'shem Mitzvah Tzitzis when you're putting it through the hole, you're scot-free for as long as in that sitting, you know, anything you're doing is going on your original das. So he basically, according to a lot of Paiskim, he was not yet to his Mitzvah Tzitzis. But, just in case anyone, I didn't know we had these people, but in case anyone is making their own holes on Begadim, which most people don't do, it has to be, the Gemara says, it has to be not on the Begad, because it has to be in the corner, but it says the corner, not the tip. So, if you do too close to the edge, that's called the edge, that's not called the corner. If you do it dead center, so that's not cool, that's called the middle of the Begad. So it says it has to be between one and three etzbos, meaning this and this, away from your thing. Basically, if you make it approximately 4 centimeters in both directions, you're good to go. Most of us don't have those issues because most of us don't make our own holes, but it's not good to know. Okay, anyway, so again, the stringing has to be done with shema, and it has to be done by someone who's chayiv in tzitzis. So you put it through the hole, you make a double knot, so you got four strings. Whatever, I have it here somewhere. You make your tzitzis, you'll see that it comes with three strings, and one of them significantly longer, which is here. You have one, two, three, and then the other one is almost 175% the size. So you put it through. And higher mathematics going on over here. You take your four strings, you put it through the hole. You got to say L'shem Mitzvah Tzitzis. I'm not big. All right. You put it through the hole, and you fold it over, and voila, your four strings just became eight. Right. So you make a double knot because in halacha, a single knot is nothing. You allowed to make a single knot on Shabbos. Single knot is nothing. A knot means a double knot. So I make a double knot, and then I wind around it seven times. Double knot, wind eight times. Double knot, 11 times. Double knot, 13 times. 7, 8, 11, 13. The reason for the spooky numbers over here is already Shulchan Aruch, nothing so fancy. It's Begematria Hashem Echad. 7 and 8 is 15, which is Begematria Yud and Hey. 11 is Begematria Vav and Hey, and Echad is Begematria 13. So it's 7 and then 8, 11 and then 13. Some people even have the minhag to count when they're doing their knots. They want to have this in mind of Yud Kei Vav Kei. So they count 1, 2, Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet Hey Vav Zayin, and then they make a double knot. And then instead of counting again from Aleph, they finish up Ches Tes Yud. And then Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet Hey. This way, they want to be able spelling out Yud K Vav K Aleph Ches Dalet Hashem Echad. Which again, that's the whole point of the tzitzis, is to remind you Hashem Echad. So that's why it's those numbers. When you make the tzitzis, there's four on each side. So when you make your double knot, you have to remember that it's four on each side. Anyone who has ever made tzitzis before, so after you make your double knot, you just got a lot. So you make your double knot, and then I have seven strings, and I wrap my one around my seven. So I just lost count of my four, my separate four and four. Yeah, that was with me on this one? Yep. So I lost count with my four and four. Now that I make my double knot again after the seven, how in the world am I supposed to know which was on the right side, which was on the left side? Thankfully, it doesn't make a difference. You can just grab four strings and tie them together. There is a reason to try to keep track of what's what, because what happens in the unfortunate situation that happens to most of us when your tzitzis snap, right? So the halachas are very tedious, and it makes a difference how much snapped or how long it snapped. So and every case basically ends up being different. It's very confusing. And when it ends up looking too bad, you probably just buy a new pair anyway. But basically, in a nutshell, you have to have a representation of all four strings. This is mamash oversimplifying the halachas. It's a machlekas, but you have to have a representation of all four strings. Now again, I put my four in, and now I folded it. So I have four A, I have one A and one B, right? Because my one string has two edges. So I have one A and one B, two A and two B, three A and three B, four A and four B. I now have a full pair of tzitzis. I got eight strings hanging down. Now they're really four times two. If one string snaps totally all the way up to the knot, anything less than an inch is considered snapped totally. If it snapped totally to the thing, so I still have a representation of all four strings. Because I have 1A and B, 2A and B, 3A and B, 4A, I lost 4B. Okay, but I got 4A. What happens if two strings snap? So, I don't know. Did I lose 4B and 4A, and then I don't have a manifestation of all four, a representation of all four strings? Or did I lose 4B and 3B, but I still have 3A and 4A? So I do have a representation of all four strings. So if I don't know, so your tzitzis are possible. This is the only reason to keep track of 4 and 4, which very often is not worth the headache. If you kept cheshbon and always had the same four strings on the right side and the same four strings on the left side, it means you had all the A's on the right side and all the B's on the left side. So if the two strings you snapped are on the same side, they're obviously two A's from two different numbers, and your tzitzis are kosher. If two snap, one's on one side, one's on the other, it could be it was 4B and 3A, and you're still good. But it could be it was 4A and 4B, and you blew it. That is the only reason to keep track.
To label each one.
So what people do is, if you're doing it, you make a little knot, you take your four, you tie them, make a little slip knot.
Label all 1, 2, 3, 4.
1, 2, 3, 4, right. And then, no. So if you do that, then you could... But... yeah. They have... So the only problem with the colors is that your tzitzis have to be the same color as the baguette. Unless they're tcheles, right. But white or tcheles are good everywhere. Colors have to be the color of the baguette. So, okay, anyway, moving right along. Just one last thing.
Snap one string all the way even to the top, you're still fine.
Everybody say it again?
You can just snap one string all the way to the top, you're still fine.
One string snapped all the way to the top, you're fine. Right, yeah. And even two strings, if you can...
You kept track, right?
If I kept track, and I snapped...
You lose up to four, yeah.
I could lose up to four, but once I lose more than three, once I lose more than two, I'm getting... This is machloikis if I need two strings or four strings. But what if I...
Huh? If you have more than an inch, you're good no matter what.
So, no. Also, if I have more than an inch, so then it depends... Everything depends on, did it snap one, two? If I have more than an inch, that's considered a representation, right? So if I kept track, one snapped all the way, but one's a representation. Anyway, okay. So just the. The if anyone wants to cut their strings because a string is hanging too long, or for any other reason the guy wants to cut their strings, there is, you're not supposed to cut it with Barzal. Barzal is iron, I think. So why? It's come based off Mamasha Mishnah. It's pasuk. Pasuk talking about the mizbeach. You shouldn't cut the mizbeach with iron, because the mizbeach primarily, but all mitzvahs are made there. Ki em chayenu v'yoch yamenu. They're there to prolong our life and fill our life with meaning. Metal is made to kill people. That's basically, it's supposed to cut things, right? So the Bronze Age is when they discovered weapons, right? You know, they didn't, didn't discover the yad or make watches, right? That's when they made weapons. So you should not cut your tzitzis with barzel. Now, does barzel mean iron, or does barzel mean any metal alloy that our scissors is probably not made out of iron? Right, definitely not the 99 cents ones you buy in Amazing Savings. But basically, the Achronim say barzel means all metal. You shouldn't do metal either. So Mishnah Berurah says you're supposed to bite it with your teeth. Right. So if you want it long, you bite it with your teeth. So I have tried time and time again and to bite it with my teeth, and I have gotten nothing but toothaches. I just can't do it. Yeah. So I asked Rabbi Yisrael Belsky, what am I supposed to do? I can't bite it with my teeth. He, of course, tells me, I have no problem. I bite all my teeth with my teeth, and I go, come right off. I don't know. I guess it's part of chopping the big and tall story. They come stronger than I am. But if you can't bite it with your teeth, there's a remez to doing it with your teeth, is because there are 32 strings on your tzitzis, and we have 32 teeth. Those of us that didn't have a wisdom teeth pulled. What? You use a plastic scissors. Yeah, plastic's fine, right? Yeah. The point is, try to stay away from metal. But if you have a plastic scissors that cuts it, please let me know. But the ceramic. Okay, fine. Ceramic. You're right. Ceramic, probably. Right. They kill people with ceramic knives when they want to pull them up on planes. Yeah. So I guess. Yeah. Anyway, so if anyone's ever on a plane and they come, who?
I would have lied with him.
Yeah. Yeah, if the guy whips out a ceramic knife, could you cut my tzitzis before you kill me? Anyhow, but, or you could use fire, which is a little bit, for the paramaniacs amongst us, just a word of forewarning is that wool is not really that flammable. So as soon as you pull, when you light it, it's going to conflagrate in your face. As soon as you pull the wool, your tzitzis away from the fire, it's going to be out in a second. So you just, don't get scared, but don't burn your fingers. And it's going to have brown tips, but, within a few days, it goes away. Okay, anyway, so there is a halacha, al kanfei bigdayem, that it needs to be, the Lashon of Shulchan Aruch is noitev umake bekanef. I'll
do this a little higher.
Meaning, I know this halacha is an endangered species. It's beyond me. I don't know why, but I would probably suffice to say 19 out of 20 people don't even know the halacha exists. So the halacha is, it needs to be noitev umake bekanef. It has to be hanging on the corner, right? Corner, Exhibit A, has to be hanging on the corner, which means, right, it needs to be on the side, hanging down, not like this. Meaning, if I'm wearing my tzitzis like this, this is wrong. It's not hanging on my corner. It has to be on the side, hanging down. Mr. Brewer says, if it falls, you should return it, you should move it back. Right? It's not puzzle. If you turn it back, it's not tassel limit also, but you should move it back. You should move it back at your earliest convenience. Obviously, if you're middle Shmonesre, you don't have to move it back. This is Mr. Rubin's coming off from Magen Avraham. There were these people called the Karoim. Karoim were basically the second flux of Tzedukim that existed. Tzedukim were in the times of the Tanoim. These people existed in the times of the Rishonim. There's one tzeduki that lives, that one karoi lives in the old city still. I don't know if anyone knows the old city. There's a rechev hakaroyim, and there's a he lives there. He's a karoi. Who what?
A karoi.
Who? They exist today, yeah. In, I think, near Beit Shemesh, there's a whole bunch of them.
Like 700
of them. No, those are the Samaritans. Those are someone else. I'm not talking about the Samaritans. I'm talking about the Karoi. There are a bunch of Karois. This guy is Mamash Agoyin, this guy. This guy lives in the old city. He says that mezuzah, right, doesn't say in the Torah what you're supposed to write on your door, right? Just says, right? What am I supposed to write there? Doesn't say, right? So I could pick myself. What's the most important parasha in the Torah? Saras Dibros. So he has that Saras Dibros written on his doorway. Right? A guy living in Yerushalayim, can't miss it. They name the street after him. Well, listen to this guyness. This guy said that this is his own. No one in the past 1,000 years thought of this cool that he thought of. You're not allowed to have fire. You're not allowed to make a fire in your house on Shabbos, right? When Lama Tess Malachas. Pasuk says, Lo Sevaru Eish B'chol Moish V'Seichem, in all your houses. So every Saturday afternoon, he makes a barbecue on the sidewalk. Come on, the guy. That's cool thinking. Anyway, so the Karoim said, Al Kanfei B'gdeichem, you know what that means? It has to be diagonally hitting the point of your corner. As such. Right? So Mishnah Berurah says, if it's like this, that's a big no-no. That's already, you look like the Karoim. Chayiv l'hachzira miyad. You're in the middle of Kriya Shema, you're in the middle of doing whatever you're doing, probably Shema Nesra, not, whatever. If it's at the corner, at diagonal, which probably won't happen, but that has to be returned immediately. But otherwise, it needs to be on the side, hanging down. Comes along the Tumas HaDeshen, who's one of the Rishonim, says, I have an ingenious idea. Instead of making it loose, and having it fall down half the time, more than half the time, make it tight. If you make it tight like this, it ain't going nowhere. Right? And it will always be noitef umake ukanav. Now, the only thing is, I've seen people who say this is a brilliant idea, and they tie it tight the wrong way. They tie it tight on the bottom, hanging down. That's like you do know the halacha, you don't know the halacha. Anyway, so this is what Chumash HaDeshen did, Chaim Brisker did this, Chaznish did this. A lot of people make it very tight. Some Achronim have issues with it. Mr. Brewer dropped it like a hot potato. Doesn't even mention, does not even bring down this Tumas HaDeshen, which Rabbi Moshe Sternberg says, Mr. Brewer's silence speaks volumes. Obviously, he didn't hold of the Eitzah. But, listen, Chaznish did it. And, so, there are Achronim that don't like it. So, if anything, instead of making it as tight as I did over here, just make it a little looser that you could pull the baguette through. I have to get it out. Make it a little looser this way that you could take your baguette, you could pull it out. This way, it solves issues. Okay. Did I miss anything? I would know that, right? Two holes versus one. Okay. The truth or not the truth?
There is a
machlokes in Rishonim if you're supposed to have one hole or two holes. Honestly, I don't think that is relevant at all to why people wear one hole, two holes today. If you do that, and as far as the halacha is concerned, you're in the clear. But the Itter says that you should make two. The Itter was one of the Rishonim. The Itter says to make two holes because he says the Sifri says that you have to have four tzitzis, and if you do it like this, right, with one hole, it looks like eight. One, two, three, four. Right? Looks like eight. So he says, don't make one, make two. But listen, Rishonim go like it. Rishonim don't go like it. The bottom line is the truth of the matter. Most Rishonim, I think, hold one. The Arizal wore two on his Talis Gadol. Even the people that wore two, no one wears two on their Talis Gadol. According to the Itter, with his lamdas, you should be wearing two, even on your talis gadol, right? So that's why it's telling that the Arizal wore a talis gadol with one hole and a talis katan with two holes. And when his Talmud, Reb Chaim Vital, who we have all his Torah from, asked him why, he told him, it doesn't make a difference, you don't have to know everything, and anyway, you should wear one. So, and Reb Chaim Vital's son writes that, yes, my father all his years only wore one, because that's what Arizal told him to do. So now, Dari wore in his talus one hole and his talus cut in two holes, but he told his Talmud to wear one hole. So where does that leave us? Do we want to do like Darizal, or do we want to do like his Talmud? What he told him to do. So basically the split is the Litvisha do one because that's how the Rishonim basically come out. The Chassidim follow Darizal and the Sfaradim follow his Talmud. So basically, the only people that wear two holes are the Chassidim, because
and only
on the Talmud. Thank you.
And all Chabad should
wear Talmud
as well.
Oh, so okay. No.
We also said Zach Haley Mavei before. They didn't do that either. So
they
on the Akar, that's what I was
talking. No, that's something different.
They don't hold
Zechariah
and Mary on the
Naira or
Palace.
No, right. They attack it to the Vayaga. They do it. Again, just digress for 1 minute. Once you brought up, it's a good point. The reason we were Ataris, all of us were Ataris. Some of us have leather, fancy silver Ataris, and some of us have material Ataris. All of us wear Ataris. Why? Because, unless someone hears Chabad, but because the Magen Avram brings from a Shlah, that learning from the Mishkan, that any Keresh, right, the Mishkan was made out of those poles. So I got 20 poles, 8 poles in the back. I got 48 poles. When I take them down, they get lumped in a pile. When I put them back, the popsicle sticks. How am I supposed to know what goes where? So the Gemara says that they wrote numbers, they labeled the krushim, so that I know which keresh goes where. Zok d'shla, you see from that mitzvahs should be done the same way every time. So the shla says, when you put on your, the Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Berurah bring this down, the halacha, when you put on your talis, the front right corner should always be the front right corner. Talis gadol, talis katan. If you want on your talis cut, just make yourself a little dot in the corner somewhere. Just this way you know you should put it on the same way every single time. If you want to change, because the front got dirty, right? I have a chassidish friend who sits over a shirt, sometimes it gets dirty. So what does he do? He flips it around. And he buys himself an extra few months with his towel's gum. That's fine, because then you are changing. And then from now on, the front right corner will... But it shouldn't be haphazard. The Arizal said quite the contrary. This is... We're not here for a Kabbalah course, but tzitzis is a thing called... According to the Arizal, I'll be Kabbalah. Tzitzis is a thing called Ar Makif, which is the... Or that surrounds you and it encompasses everything. And in a circle encompassing you, there's no top, there's no bottom, there's no right, there's no left. Anyway, not count, just take it as fact. The Arizal said the exact opposite of the Shlav. I should bedavka have no, I should not be makbid that the front right should always be in the front right, because then I'm taking my tzitzis and making them not be like the Armakif, right? So that's why the Arizal was makbid not to have an atara. The halacha the place can bring, go with the Shlo, who argues on the Ari and says you should keep Chesbana where it is. Chabad doesn't have an atara because the Shulchan Aruch Harav is paskening like the Arizal. Now, I hope there's no one here Chabad is going to throw tomatoes at me. If you have a Lubavitcher talis that doesn't have an atara but has that sweat guard, you just lost yourself, because every time I wear this, oh, over here, so you basically usurped yourself.
Don't have that either.
Who?
The many Chabad
don't have that. Oh, yeah. Now, the shalos, do they put it on haphazardly, or do they know which is the head? I don't know. Anyway, but even... Okay.
Two holes in the
top. Oh, okay, so fine. So, this, if I had one here, I should know what I should. I should actually. Good point. From that, I should start making all of it. The reason that what you're talking about is not. The Lubavitchers have two holes on the talus cotton, and you can tell it's a Lubavitcher one because our Satmar friends, they're lateral, the two. But the Chayyim talk about that it used to be like a shva. The two holes, one on top of the other. That, they're all against. They said it should be like a tzeret. Oh, right. Wait. Oh, come on, perfect. The Chabad ones are at an 8.
He's not a Chabad who sits down when he puts on his film and he has enough power on his
power. And he was not bad.
Feather
in the helmet. So, if we can have our Samar friend, the Paiskim say that if you're doing the two holes, it should not be one on top of each other like a shva. It should be side by side like a tzeret. The Shulchan Aruch Harav, like this fellow has over here, is at an angle. Right? So when you go to the store, if our Simon friend goes to the store, don't fall in and buy the Lubavitcher talus. And Lubavitcher, don't walk in and buy the Satmar talus. Right? They have over there, you gotta make sure they're different, even though they're both two holes, you gotta have them. The talus gadol, do you have your talus here? Do you have your towels here?
Do I have my towels?
That's what I asked you.
I don't wear towels.
You don't wear a lot of yourself. Okay, fine. Anyway.
Chabad sits and the regular towels.
Regular towels. Okay. Anyway, so what the Chabad. What?
The Rebbe?
I'm out of the Rebbe, yeah.
The Rebbe?
I don't know which
one. But anyhow. So again, so the, what the Shulchan Aruch Harav does? Who? Get there in a second. So what the Lubavitcher Talesim have? If you look at it, it looks like you're having two holes. He has over here, again, he's addressing the same issue. He wants it to be noitev umake bekanof, right? Like this. But he doesn't want to scrunch it up like this, right? The Shulchan Aruch Harav holds, Mr. Brewer brings it down and disagrees with this, but the Shulchan Aruch Harav does say that the beged, if it's a 24 or whatever size it is, it has to cover it. If I wear my tzitzis, and gets scrunched up like this, right? Which happens a lot of times. So, am I yoitzer or am I not? So, Mr. Brewer says it's totally fine. You're wearing the beged. The beged is an amma by an amma, right? Just because you roll up your sleeves doesn't mean your shirt doesn't have sleeves. The Shulchan Aruch Harav argues. Shulchan Aruch Harav says no. If you by dafka by tzitzis, the tzitzis has a shear. It has to be spread out. So they have. Anyone? Oh, right. If any of us have ever been in the mikveh with the Chabadskis, they put on the undershirt, they put on the tzitzis. The first time I saw this, I thought the guy was nuts. He puts on his undershirt, puts on his tzitzis, and puts a gartel on top of his tzitzis. I said, I never saw this in my life. Guys, like, this is like mamish, you know, the chassidim wear the gartel the whole day. This guy's where he doesn't want to make a whole big rash if we're wearing it on the thing. Anyway, they're doing it because of this Shulchan Aruch Harav. They want that the beged, some of them have elastic. They keep the baggage fire, which is why they keep it tucked out, believe it or not.
Yeah. Right. They make a key for the house on Shabbos.
Oh, that, yeah? Oh, you can kill two birds with one stone.
The key has three loops, and they tie each end of the garter to one end.
And this way they have their key.
They have a key, and they're not carrying the key on Shabbos.
Because they need it for the tzitzis. This is like the idea of the tie pen. You don't have to look like you're from the 60s. Anyway, so that's by. So again, so now here we are. The Tanya wants to know. He's looking for an eight. So how to keep it? Noitef umake bekanof, right? But he doesn't want to scrunch it up. So what he does is he makes another hole right next to the edge. Right? He got his hole 4 centimeters off the corner. He has another hole mamish at the tip. Now this other hole does not count as far as the hole for your tzitzis, as we said beforehand. Because it can't be on the edge and it can't be in the beged. It has to be between 1 and 3 etzbos away, which is practically 4 centimeters. What he does is he puts your 4 strings through the hole, And then I got four strings, and now I have gonna make a double knot. Before I make my double knot, I wish I had a hole here I could show it to you. Before I make my double knot, I slip one string through the hole. So now I got three on one side, five on the other. Yeah? With me?
Yeah.
Now I can't make my knot like that. My knot always has to be four and four. So then I pull back that one and I make my double knot. Right? So now I got. So what do you need the hole, through the hole, out of the hole? Because now it's going to keep in place. Because it's stuck here because one of the strings is laced through the baguette. So this was the Shulchan Aruch HaRav's, it was his idea, thought of himself, how to avert this issue of being negative Maka B'Kanav. Which, by the way, you see how important it was for him. He was making new holes in Talism and inventing issues to make sure that it stays where it is. He wants about the round neck and V-neck. So the difference between the round neck and the V-neck is there is not really any difference, right?
Except for the shear where it starts.
Right. So the lumbus is, again, we want it to be an amma this way, lechatchila an amma that way, b'dieved 3/4 of an amma. Now, for some odd reason, I have no idea why this is. If you go to the Reg, you go to Eichler's and you buy a 24, so it's 24 this way, 22 if you're lucky this way. And they just had a sale there, buy three, get one off. I went there with my ruler, I sat there, I wanted 24 by 24.
There's one. They don't let you back in the store.
There's one store out in of course, you can show me that I have Hatzlach with most of the time. But Greenfield Halesim. But even them, you gotta just check. But anyway, but even if it's not 24 by 24, I have an Amma according to Chaim Noah, because I got 18 by 18, and I even have 24 by 22 is still 3/4 of an Amma, so I'm good. L'chatchila according to Chaim Noah, and even Rav Moshe, and even B'dieved according to Chaznish, because I have 3/4 of an Amma this way. Or if I have a V-neck, the lumbus of the V-neck is, if it's cut less than half, it's as if it's tied up. Right? It's as if it's closed up. You had a gentleman in the back who had a shirt that he cut in order to be chayv in tzitzis. So, it has to be cut more than half to be considered a cut. Right? So the V-neck is the flip side of that. We want the V-neck cut less than half so that it's considered closed up. So now, if I have my baguette, that if I flap it up, it's much easier to have your shear. Right? The Chaznish, and the Briskas for sure, they wear a V-neck, but then they button it. There's a little hole, and right? So it's easier to put on and come off. But they have a thing. The downside with the V-necks is there's two downsides. If it rips, so if you have a round neck and it rips, so okay, my rash, who cares? It rips a little bit. If I have a V-neck and it rips, so if it reaches 50%, you just lost your baguette.
50% of the half.
50% of the half, right? Meaning from the top of where it would close until then. No, because usually they make it 40%. Right? If it's here to here, they make the rip is, let's say, 40% down. So you get yourself a good.
Throw it up after it rips, it's still, even though it sits on the corner, that's okay.
Yeah. It's fine because the truth is like this. If it turns into that, it reverts into a beggar that has six corners. Right? One, two, three, four, five, six. Right? And Mr. Rubin's according, we don't pass like this, but according to some Rishonim, the only thing that's chayev is a beggar that has four corners. Three is not chayev, four, five is not chayev. Five, six is not chayev. So as soon as I get, we don't pass like that, and Mel, if I have a six-cornered beggar, I still have to put tzitzis on it. But it's best to stay away from it. But, so what happens if I cut it up, if it rips more, so now I just turned myself into a beggar that has six corners, so I'm still yoytzei. But it's best to sew it up because to be choshish for those shitas that hold the six-cornered is not chayiv. But it's not going to be tassav levin also, like you pointed out, because really we don't pasken like those. Really, pasken, you need four. At least four, right? If I have you know, a diamond sun, whatever, then has 100 corners, that's fine. I just put it on the four furthest. So the downside with the mila of having the V-neck is that it's much easier to get your full amma this way. The downside of the V-neck is that if it rips, I got my V-neck to be chayshish for that issue, to be chayshish to get my full amma, but now if it rips, I got myself in the hot water because I lost it according to other Rishon. So if I'm getting a V-neck because I don't want a talking bay, so then who cares if it, you know, I'm not concerned about it. But if I'm trying to do it to chap oiz chumra, if it rips, again, only if it rips, if you take care of it, it's not going to rip, then I'm fine. The Malbim brings, separate issue, is the Malbim brings from the Mekubalim that your tzitzis should cover as most of your chest as possible. So if you have a V-neck, most of your chest is open. But again, you could flap it up, or you could put a snap, or, listen, most things we don't do is al-pi kabbalah anyway. So if lahalach it's easier, and for kavins it's easier, so that's that.
Atif on a
talis gun. No, you do a atif on a talis gun?
I don't do it.
You don't do a atif on a
talis gun? I was told by a Talmud of Chofetz Chaim.
Yeah.
Chofetz Chaim told me to do a atif on a talis gun.
Oh, really?
That's what I thought
about Pupko. So he's you know Chofetz Chaim's last name is Pupko.
I know.
Yeah.
He's a cousin.
Who?
Oh, he's not around anymore. He used to live on Avenue I in
Oh yeah? Anyway, yeah, basically we do Atifa, like the Yishmaelim, right? On a talis katan we don't. And it's not really Atifa-able. And there's a machlekes between the Mechaber and the Ramah. What bracha do you make on a talis katan? Right? It's not made to be nisatif, and we don't wear it as itav. So the Ramah says, don't make a bracha lehisatif. Your talis gadol, you wrap yourself in. So you make a lehisatif. Talis katan, you don't wear it that way. Mr. Brewer comes along and Mr. Brewer says, again, Mr. Brewer is always there to stay out of issues. Right? You weren't here before, and we had Machlekes Mechaber and Ramah about what beged do I wear for tzitzis. So according to the Mechaber, katan is midrabanan. According to the Ramah, katan is deraisa. Mr. Brewer said, if you stay out of issues, you wear wool. So talk to Mr. Brewer, same thing. I have a wonderful idea. If you do itif on your talis katan, so then you can make a lisatif, even on your talis katan, and stay out of issues. So, yeah, that's basically the long and tall of it. If you want to know how to do itif, basically the haskama, I did find one person saying out like this, but I sort of picture books, huh? What's that?
His version, just wrap it around your head, no?
Really?
Yeah, I think so. Didn't he say Tiv Shishmael? Didn't he change his mind once he went there to Israel?
Really? Oh, I don't know that.
I think so. I think once he went there to Israel, he changed his mind.
Ataka? Oh, but I'm going to catch an angle. I got to find this out. Anyway, so if you want to do Atifa, basically, you're in this Atif sideways. And you go like this. And then you, whatever. I don't want to do it because I don't have four tzitzis on it, and you're misatif like this,
right.
And then you swing it behind, which means I'm being misatif the wrong way. If you think about it, when you're wearing your talis gadol, you're misatif the way you wear it, right? No, I'm misatif, and then I just pull it back. Over here, it's the wrong way, right? You have, and then
right, I got to. Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Who? What?
Tzitzis by night.
Basically, the Chazon Ish made his own tzitzis at night. The Mishpacha, maybe you can ask about Popko, Mishpacha said the Chofetz Chaim also made his tzitzis at night. The Kermana, for any of those of us who know anything about the Kermana, Kermana was a Eish Lahava. So anything he says is Lahava. He's fire and brimstone about everything he says. Anyway, he holds that it's Tassav Lemon also to make tzitzis at night. Because if you're making it at night, it's a Zman that you're not Chayav. But no one, there isn't. The commander's the commander, but it's middle of winter, it's very hard. You know? Sleeping in it. So the Arizal slept in his tzitzis. Kveger, Kalta Litvak, said, you know why he sleeps in his tzitzis? It's Machlekes Rosh and Rambam about what is Chayiv, right? You Chayiv in tzitzis by day, not by night. So it's Machlekes Rosh Rambam, if that means day and night, or that means day clothing and night clothing. Meaning, what happens if I wear day clothing at night, or night clothing by day? Right? So that's going to be Machlekes Rosh and Rambam, if I'm Chayiv. According to the Rosh, it's only the Begadim, so if I'm dressed at night time, I'm dressed, I'm still wearing a mitzvah, I'm still being a mitzvah. According to the Rambam, once it's Shkia, according to the Rambam, it's going to be Shkia. Once it's nighttime already, so then it's not a mitzvah tzitzis anymore. The halacha, we only make a bracha if you're yotze both. If you're wearing a beged yoim by yoim. Right? That's why if you take a shower and you put your tzitzis on at night, you don't make a bracha. Don't we make a bracha on it? The Ari's also slept in his tzitzis. Documented fact. So, Dr. Kveger, you know why he slept in his tzitzis? Because if he sleeps by day, and he wakes up, let's say he's sleeping past Alois. So according to the Rambam, I'll be chayiv in tzitzis. So I can be yotze mitzvah. Or even according to the Rosh, I could be yotze mitzvah the whole night. Anyway, that's Reb Kreger. Lamaisa, if you look up, there is inside, that's not at all what he says. You look up inside, he basically, you're here for the Armakif. Anyway, whatever. So basically, he says that there's two types of talisim: the talis gadol, talis katan, and the talis katan is you, and the talis gadol is your makif. So he says, I'll be soid, nothing to do with the kalka litvak of Rabbi Kveger. Just one more thing I forgot. Believe it or not, there is a halacha, it's not covered to send your talis to a goyisha cleaners. Halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Mr. Brewer says, if there's no one else to clean it for you, maybe you could. Look, Mr. Brewer, you know what it's best to do? Take off the tzitzis before you send it. Thank you very much. So, just Baruch Hashem, nowadays we have a lot of good.
Anyway, give panasa to a from guy.
Yeah, anyway, give panasa to a from guy. So this already.
The guy here doesn't sell it.
Yeah. Really?
90% sure.
So I asked this Rabbi Shlomo.
Yeah.
Right. He said, "Listen, I'm not going to tell you."
Don't answer to the show.
Really, he tells me he's not on both. He says it has if it's a Yiddish emoji. Meaning it can have one of two things. If I'm giving it into a Jewish cleaners that has Goyish workers, or conversely, let's say I have a Goyish cleaners but has a Yiddish worker, and I know Shmerl that works there. Can I give it to Antonio's cleaners that has Shmerl doing the work for me? So he says it's not. He didn't find it anywhere spoken about in the Poskim. Anyway, in the Poskim, if it's the shame cleaners you're giving it to, meaning if I give it to Antonio, that's what I'm giving it over to a guy, which I am. I'm giving it to Antonio, who's standing behind he's standing behind the thing. The fact that Yankel is doing the work doesn't help. He's not sure. Says if you have to pin me to the floor, really, I tell you that it's totally in the cleaners. If it's a Yiddish cleaners, it's good, even if it's Antonio doing the work. And if it's Antonio's cleaners, it's no good, even if it's Yankel doing the work. Personally, he said he's makvid.
And give you a regular house cotton for the guy to wash.
So. Right, yeah, that would probably be Yankel's thing with Antonio cleaning it. However, just a word for the wise, and I'll save you a lot of money. If you have a front load washing machine, not the top loads, because those have the agitator that go, you'll rip it to. You look at the fibers; it's woven the same way your shirt is. But it's very coarse fiber. It's not good. Super 120, Super 180, Super 210s. That's how many threads there are per inch. Right? 220, 120, 180. Your tzitzis come on. It's like 30 if you're lucky. It's going to fall.
It's not a good piece of material.
It's right. So if you do it too often, your towel's going to fall apart.
Regular towel's guddle?
Even your towel's guddle. If you do it too often.
In a washing machine.
If you do it too, I don't know how often, I'm talking, you do it every 2 weeks, it's gonna fall apart on you. And if you put it in a top loader that has the agitator, it's also going to rip apart. But if you put it on a front loader, on a delicate cycle, comes as clean as could be. And waste of money. Put it on a front loader on the delicate cycle, it doesn't get fast enough to do it. And no, hang dry it and iron it.
Wait,
before you go whole circle, if you do it yourself and you you hand it in to a dry cleaner to press it, then that's no problem, because they're not cleaning it. The problem is when you clean it, you make it more dirty before you make it clean. Right? You put in soap, and you're making it wet, and you smush it up, so it's not covered for the towels, right? If I tell you a dirty Jew joke, right, a cheap Jew joke, so it's fine. If a guy tells you a cheap Jew joke, right? So if a Yid is cleaning his tzitzis, it's not a bazillion. If a guy is cleaning his tzitzis, that's a bazillion. So if you do it yourself, and you iron it, you don't like the way it looks, so you can send it to Antonio's to press it for you. But I, whenever it's very, very dirty, I just get a spritz with the, you know, the shout or the OxyClean, put it in a front load on delicate, hang it dry with a fan on, dries in mamash an hour or two, and then I iron it.
So if, anyway, yeah. After you've worn it, then you can't wear it anymore.
But
how do you?
Is it shameless?
Is it shameless?
The
nicest
way
to say it.
So,
don't drop it off his shoulder. Make it something.
If it is wearable, but you don't want to wear it, right?
I guess that's all relative, but okay.
Right. I was saying, that's a yarmulke, and it rips a little. So then,
I'm saying it's dirty. I mean, you've
worn it. Well, it is dirty.
It rips off.
And it did its time.
I'm carrying a lot of chalk on it.
So, a friend of mine was standing next to Yisrael Belsky and Camp Aguda when they came up one summer and they found a whole stash of talism that did their time and thing. And I had the same, I'll tell you, it's almost verbatim the same quote. I was with Rabbi Schechter when he was going through his tzitzis and he was throwing them out. Huh? What?
Didn't have a front loader.
Didn't have a front loader, yeah. And he says, with much hakaras hatov and with much respect, you what did he say? You helped me very much for a very long time. Basically, just, yeah, don't throw it out with your chalim, but, you know, put it in a bag, and, yeah, you know, but, huh? It's not all, yeah, okay.